In this session, we shall consider the capital gains tax implications of the takeover by one company of another company. This will happen when Company A acquires more than 50% of the shares of Company B. By way of an example, let us assume we have a taxpayer, here we have called him Terry, who owns all of the shares of a company called Widget Co. Limited, a large quoted company, here we have called it Big Co. PLC, wishes to take over Widget Co. Limited by acquiring all of its shares. After the takeover has taken place, Big Co. PLC will own all of the shares of Widget Co. Limited. To acquire all of the shares of the target company, i.e. Widget Co. Limited, Big Co. PLC must purchase them from the shareholder, i.e. Terry. Big Co. PLC can do this in a number of ways. The consideration paid by Big Co. PLC to Terry could be wholly in cash. Another way in which the deal could be structured is for Big Co. PLC to offer Terry shares in Big Co. PLC in exchange for his shares in Widget Co. Limited. This is called a share-for-share exchange. Alternatively, Big Co. PLC could offer Terry a mixture of cash plus new shares. If Terry accepts the offer, he will be disposing of his shares in Widget Co. Limited, and we must therefore consider the capital gains implications. We will first look at share-for-share exchanges. This is also called a paper-for-paper exchange. A shareholder is simply swapping one piece of paper, that is, a share certificate in one company, for a certificate in another. The capital gains legislation tells us that where old shares are simply swapped for new shares, there is no disposal for capital gains tax purposes. As such, no gain will arise on a share-for-share exchange. The simple logic is that on a paper-for-paper exchange, the vendor has no cash and therefore has no means of paying any subsequent CGT liability. This is a general principle of capital gains tax, i.e., if a taxpayer disposes of an asset and he is paid in non-cash form, there is unlikely to be a corresponding tax liability. So, in the previous example, let us assume that Terry bought his shares in Widget Co. Limited in May 1991 for £10,000. Widget Co. Limited is taken over by Big Co. PLC. In return for his 1,000 Widget Co. shares, Terry receives 500 new shares in Big Co. PLC. As this is a share-for-share exchange, no disposal takes place for capital gains tax purposes. Terry will therefore have no tax liability on the disposal of his original Widget Co. shares. For CGT purposes, the new Big Co. PLC shares stand in the shoes of the old Widget Company shares. This means that for CGT purposes, Terry is treated as having bought the new Big Co. PLC shares for £10,000 in May 1991, i.e. the new shares have the same base cost and acquisition date as the original shares. Terry will therefore have a CGT liability when he eventually sells his new Big Co. PLC shares. For the above rules to apply, it is a condition that the exchange takes place for bona fide commercial reasons. The revenue do not regard tax avoidance as a bona fide commercial reason. The acquiring company, in this case Big Co. PLC, can approach the revenue and ask them to give advance clearance that this condition has been met. A chargeable gain will therefore only arise if all or part of the consideration given to the vendor on a takeover involves cash. As we have seen, a takeover can be arranged in three basic ways. Old shares can be exchanged for new shares. Old shares could be exchanged for cash. Finally, old shares can be exchanged for a mixture of new shares plus cash. As we have seen, a straightforward share-for-share exchange is not a disposal for CGT purposes. If old shares are exchanged for cash, this is treated as a disposal of all of the original shares and a gain will arise. Here, the gain is calculated in the normal way, that is, using the share pooling and share matching rules, which we have looked at in previous sessions. If old shares are exchanged for a mixture of new shares plus cash, this is treated as a part disposal for CGT. A gain will arise on the cash element, but a gain will not arise on the shares element. We use the part disposal rules because only part of the consideration is paid in cash form. As we have seen before, wherever a part disposal arises, we calculate our allowable cost by using the formula A over A plus B. In this instance, the A in the fraction is the cash received on the takeover, whilst the B in the fraction is the market value of the new shares received. Let us illustrate this by doing a numerical example. Terry buys 1,000 shares in Widget Co. Limited for £10,000 in May 1991.
Widget Co. Limited is taken over by Big Co. PLC in July 2010.
The consideration paid to Terry by Big Co. PLC is made up of £20,000 in cash and 500 new shares in Big Co. PLC. We are told that the value of the new shares is £80,000. You'll see, therefore, that Terry has received £100,000 in total for the sale of his shares, but only part of this has been paid in cash form.
In 2010-11, Terry will pay capital gains tax in respect of the cash element only.
Because only part of the consideration is paid in cash form, we calculate the gain by using the part disposal rules. The sales proceeds is the cash received by Terry, i.e. £20,000. From this, we need to deduct the allowable base cost. We know that Terry paid £10,000 for his shares in May 1991. However, as we are treating this as a part disposal, only part of this £10,000 is allowed. The A over A plus B fraction is therefore £20,000 divided by £100,000, i.e. the value of the cash received divided by the total consideration. Essentially, as only 20% of the consideration was paid in cash form, only 20% of the cost of the shares is allowable. Terry's gain on this part disposal is therefore £18,000. Terry is left with 500 shares in Big Co. PLC. He will have a capital gain in the future when he sells these shares, and at that point we will need to ascertain their base cost. The base cost of the new shares is part of the base cost of the old Widget Co. shares. Because 80% of the consideration was paid in new shares, the base cost of the Big Co. PLC shares is 80% of the original base cost of the Widget Co. shares, i.e., in this instance, £8,000. Terry is therefore deemed to have bought 500 Big Co. PLC shares in May 1991 for £8,000. You may come across takeovers in which the vendor receives different classes of shares in the new company. The shares we have looked at so far have been ordinary shares. Ordinary shares generally carry voting rights. That is, they usually give the shareholder the right to vote at company meetings. If a shareholder has more than 50% of the ordinary shares of the company, he will generally control the company by being able to exercise more than half of the voting rights. A shareholder could also be given preference shares in the company. Preference shares do not usually carry voting rights, but instead a preference shareholder will have a preferential right to a dividend. Dividends are generally paid to preference shareholders in priority to ordinary shareholders. It may be that on a takeover, the acquiring company, that is in our example Big Co. PLC, would not want to give Terry the right to vote at a shareholders meeting. Big Co. PLC may therefore offer Terry preference shares rather than ordinary shares. For CGT purposes, it makes no difference whether the vendor receives ordinary shares or preference shares. Both types of shares are chargeable assets, so we would calculate capital gains on sale in the normal way. It is not uncommon for different types or different classes of shares to be included within a takeover offer.